The Old Testament reading for the 11th Sunday after Pentecost is from Exodus chapter 6:16. The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. The people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to the people of Israel, "At evening you shall know that it was the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against the Lord. For what are we that you grumble against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you in the evening meat to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, because the Lord has heard your grumbling, that you grumble against him, what are we? Your grumbling is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. When the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 4. "I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the sixth chapter. On the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. The other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In John chapter 6, our reading today, Jesus is redirecting the crowd away from just a purely physical eating, right? Jesus had just fed these folks loaves and fish, getting them to turn away from physical eating, filling their bellies, to what we would call spiritual eating. So many of those present that day were also present the day before when Jesus did miraculously feed the 5,000 plus. If you recall from 2 weeks ago when we talked about that, Jesus fed them, he had compassion on them, he provided for them so well, so much that they were full, they were satisfied, they were fat and happy, they got more than enough. But you also might remember from 2 weeks ago, first, before Jesus did that, first, he fed them spiritually. He taught them many things, we remember. But clearly, the Lord's teaching, that spiritual teaching, that spiritual feeding, had not yet sunk in. Because the crowd gathered there around Jesus in John chapter 6 failed to see what Jesus had, that what that whole thing was about, his miraculously feeding them, was pointing to, it was a sign that he is the Son of God, he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is their Savior. Instead of looking to Jesus as the Son of God and their Savior, they instead just flocked to Jesus because in Jesus they saw a free meal, a free lunch, and their bellies now are rumbling. And now they know a guy who can give them free lunch. They miss the point. Focus solely on the physical at the expense of the spiritual. So Jesus, right away in the gospel reading today in John 6, he cuts straight to the heart of the matter. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, not because you believe the signs that I did for you and that I am the Savior, I am the Messiah, but because you got your fill of the loaves, because your belly got full." Then he says in verse 27, "Do not labor or work for the food that perishes," right? These things are temporal. They will perish. "But for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man," Jesus, "will give you. For on him," Jesus, "God the Father has set his seal." So obviously the feeding of the 5,000 is a sign. And a sign, if you look, you know, driving around and you see a sign points forward to something ahead, something far greater than what the sign is, right? So the sign shows you that something far greater is coming. The feeding of the 5,000 pointed to Jesus being far more than just a free meal ticket. It pointed to him being the bread of life. The same is true for the manna in the wilderness from our Old Testament reading. Jesus explains that that, in our Old Testament reading, is a sign pointing to the bread of life, Christ himself. In verse 32 and 33 of our gospel reading, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it's not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he, Christ, who comes down from heaven," the Son of God, "comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." The bread of life. Jesus reveals that manna in the wilderness is also a sign pointing to something greater, a sign pointing to Jesus himself, the true bread who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The feeding of the 5,000, the manna that comes from heaven, these mighty works of God point to Jesus. Why? Jesus says that you may believe, that you may believe in him, Jesus, whom the Father has sent. But all of this was lost on the crowd. They didn't care about all those things. Their stomachs were rumbling, and that was most important. They wanted food, and they wanted it now. Here they had the very bread of life, Christ himself, the Son of God, in the flesh, descended from heaven, became a man. The Savior of the world was in their midst, but they are so preoccupied with their own bellies that they neglected him. And later, as we continue on in the next coming weeks here in John chapter 6, we will see they reject him outright and walk away from him. Of course, that is pure and utter foolishness. But how often do we find ourselves acting like a fool as well? How often do we set aside the very bread of life, treating him as if he's far off and distant, maybe treating him a little bit like a genie? Yeah, we might call upon him when we're hungry. When our bellies are rumbling, we might call on him. When we're struggling to pay those bills or going through some sort of hardship. When we're having a medical procedure done, we'll call on him. But for the most part, we act as though he is far removed, distant, not really involved in our daily grind. How often do we grumble and act like the Israelites in the Old Testament reading, living only for the flesh, as though our bellies are our God, and our fleshly desires then are the sole determining factor for each decision that we make in our earthly life, while our souls get set aside, neglected, perhaps take the back seat. But man is not created to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. To care only about physical needs at the expense of the spiritual is actually to live as a sub-human being. It is unhuman to live in such a way, to exist to satisfy only desires of the sinful flesh. I'm going to do what I want because I want to and it feels good. That mindset is to make a human being become like a beast. A beast. You see, man is created, both body and soul together, to be in fellowship with their Father in heaven. Man is created to be justified by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ in his atoning life and death and resurrection, to be restored, to be redeemed, to put back into a right relationship with their Father in heaven. So when that is not happening, and when man's spirit is starved or malnourished or neglected, or if Christ is rejected, then he is not different than the beasts. Peter says this in 2 Peter 2. He says, "These people who satisfy their fleshly desires and they care only about that are irrational animals, creatures of instinct," right? They're only going to do what feels right and good according to their sinful flesh. Creatures of instinct, born to be caught and destroyed, blaspheming about matters of which they are ignorant, will also be destroyed in their destruction. The end of those things is death. And St. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, their end is destruction. It leads to death. Their God is their belly. They glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will, when he returns, he will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subdue all things unto himself. You see, hunger is a good thing. Being hungry is a good thing because it means you are alive. Just as a body that has lost its appetite and is never hungry will soon die, a spirit or a faith that is never hungering for Christ, the bread of life, has lost its appetite for the forgiving word of Christ and his sacraments, will soon die, or perhaps is already in the throes of death. But just as God abundantly provided for the Israelites in the wilderness, he fed the 5,000, just as he did that, and just as he promises in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," right? And his righteousness, seek that first, and all these other things. It's not that they aren't important. These other things, though, will be added to you. He will take care of those things. He knows that you need those things. And he will provide far more than we need to support this body and life. And that's because of Christ. That's because our Heavenly Father provides the life-giving, life-sustaining food, the bread of life, to abundantly satisfy all of your spiritual hunger. And of course, then he is going to take care of your physical hunger. For he sent his Son, Jesus, the very bread of life, who came down from heaven to give life to the world. In verse 35, Jesus says, he said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." By God's grace, we have been given spiritual life. When we find ourselves living as a beast, only for this world, only to feed our own stomach, we ought to repent, turn to Christ, receive forgiveness, and then we are able to come to Jesus. Because on account of Christ, you are not like the beasts. You are restored. You are regenerated. You are baptized believers in Jesus Christ. The Son of God did not become a beast. He became a human being, a man, in order to redeem and to restore mankind, you. You now are restored in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. You are not a beast. Your God is not your belly. Christ is your God. You are baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are marked as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. You belong to him. He is your God. You are a member, as we read in the epistle, you are a member of his body. You are justified by God's grace through faith in Christ and in his promises. You have been given the gift of spiritual life. You are not a beast. You have a soul, and you have spiritual life. You are satisfied because Christ himself feeds you. The very bread of life satisfies all your spiritual hunger. He feeds your soul far better and far more than we deserve or that we can even imagine. He feeds our soul. For he has overcome our life, our sinful lives by his perfect life. He has overcome our sins by taking them into his man body, his very human body, paying the price for those sins, and then giving you his righteousness earned on the cross. He has taken away all of your sin and credits you now with his righteousness. And that's crucial because now he feeds you. He feeds you and he feeds you until you are full, till you've had enough. So he feeds you in his word as he's doing now. He feeds you in his sacrament, his very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. And he gives you then the strength and the fortitude, the energy to turn away from those sins, turn away from and discipline your body, your belly, and return to Christ and focus only on him and live then holy lives. You see, spiritual hunger is a good thing. because it means you're alive. It's a sign of life. But this hunger points you away from yourself, away from your own belly, and it points you to Christ. To Christ alone, the very bread of life who satisfies every hunger and thirst for righteousness. So is your faith living and active? Are you spiritually hungry? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do you crave spiritual food, the food that endures, not perishing in this life, but endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man gives to you? If you do, good, because today's a good day for you. Do you crave that spiritual food? Well, the Lord is here feeding you with that food. Today is a beautiful day. It is the Lord's day. It is here where the bread of life is present to feed and nourish you with his word, and yes, with the very body and blood given to you to eat and drink for the forgiveness of sins, giving you, dear believer in Christ, everything that you need to be satisfied, both body and soul, to be satisfied, and everything that is needed to be forgiven and live with him for eternity. It's all yours. It's all yours. For he promises, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.